powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Jake and Stacy on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacy Ross.
Happy Friday, you guys. We have a great cast of characters. Now, we're going to have Ty France on at 1:30 p.m. Oh, also, let me remind you guys, because I always forget, we have a chance for you to win a $500 Visa gift card. That's a lot of money. Ooh. We're trying to send you into the weekend right, courtesy of Genuine Auto Glass. That's coming up in four down territory. We're going to have Michael Bumpus in today for Jake Heaps. Congratulations to Jake and Brooke welcoming their third child. First time parents to a baby girl, baby River going to be born. Paul's here. Paul Gallant is sticking around with us.
Stacy wouldn't let me leave.
It's
supposed to be my weekend. And
I had to call an audible. I had to just have you stay in for a minute, and then we're going to have Bump getting here.
We need a bullpen day.
We have a
you're our opener.
You're our
Paul.
Opener. I need you to be.
You're a Keenan Middleton. Don't give up five.
No,
runs.
I need you to be
cool.
Paul Sewald.
That's not cool, Curtis. Yeah, let me at least put some Paul Sewald vibes on me, not
okay,
Rafael
sure.
Montero vibes
sure.
on me. Come on.
Okay, that's fine. Don't be Middleton today.
Okay.
He's had other good days, but maybe not. Don't let this be your bullpen starter day.
Okay.
Okay. Now we are going to talk about the Mariners, though, because Curtis and I and Jake were all very sad. We were very sad the other day, with the news about Nelson Cruz being traded to Tampa Bay. Not was that yesterday or the day before?
That was yesterday.
I'm sorry. It's just been such a long process grieving for me that it feels like it was 72 hours ago, but apparently only 24 hours ago. It was very sad. We all thought it would be such a cool move and you'd give up relatively little to bring him here. And so Curtis sends a fired up email, and I loved it. I loved it. Curtis sends a fired up email saying, you know what? This team, God love them, but they are in the thick of a wild card race. They don't have a spot secure, but they're not very far back. They're essentially just outside of the second wild card spot. They're playing a bunch of teams, not just in their own division, but in the American League and other teams that are competing for wild card spots. You have a chance to make real ground. You have a lot of promising talent. You know, you may not be a World Series team, but can you break that long drought and get to the playoffs this year? Treat it like you really got a shot. Make a move. And that's what Curtis was saying. Liza Minnelli voice. Make a move.
Yeah, I feel like such a terrible fan for wanting the Mariners to have as many good players as possible.
God
forbid. Is that a bad thing to want?
God forbid. So, Paul, I'm curious whether or not you kind of side on the part of someone like Curtis who says, I'm sorry, is winning bad? Last time I checked, it was fine. Why don't you make a move to bring someone else in? Or if you're being, you know, like me, I tend to be a little more pragmatic, a bit of a Debbie Downer, if you will. I like to call it being realistic and taking a temperature check, a vibe check of a team that is struggling just a little bit. Some of the great pieces are struggling since your All-Star break. You've got Yusei Kikuchi, who hasn't had a great couple starts. You've got J.P. Crawford, whom I love, cooling off a little bit since the All-Star break.
I was so close to escaping. I was trying to wish positive vibes on the way out because on the Paul Gallant show at the
very
end. Were
you getting yelled at?
The texters were not feeling the Mariners vibes going into
this
week.
No, what do you mean? I'm going to open up the text line now.
They were not feeling the positive vibes, and I want to continue the positive vibes forward. I was saying, Yusei Kikuchi, we wish the spirit of the insert animal on you. We
right.
want him to pitch well tonight. But if I'm being realistic, Stacy and Curtis, they're not really a playoff contender. I mean, they're close, but they have to prove that they can beat some of these teams that are in front of them. And right now, while they have won against Oakland earlier this year, this isn't a great start because I look at the offense, and because they don't have a bat like Nelson Cruz, I just wonder about how realistic their ability to compete and stick around and hang around with all these other teams that have good offenses around them in the American League wildcard race.
But why wait to see if they can be competitive against these teams and not be proactive and make a move to say, yeah, we're going to be competitive against
Which
these teams?
Which is a fair point. What we know is they can't be competitive against these teams with the exact roster they have right now. Like, you know that they're going to need to make changes, whether it's adding someone or what Curtis would tell you, taking someone away. He was livid
Boy.
The other day when Montero came in. You already knew what was coming, Curtis. Yeah. You should have conditioned yourself.
I knew it was coming, and it still hurts. And it's, we're what, 12 hours after the fact? And it still stinks that Rafael Montero keeps getting marched out there in his 7-plus ERA, in his WAR of, like, almost negative 2 right now, in, like, 40 innings of work. That's all he's needed to be one of the worst pitchers in baseball. Every other pitcher that's got a WAR of around minus 2 has close to 100 innings pitched. Rafael Montero's done it in less than half that time.
Now, wait a minute. That's Scott cold. Service would tell you, Curtis, and I know we have the cut, Scott Service would tell you that Rafael was good earlier this year.
Rafi hasn't been as sharp here in quite some time. And, you know, part of it is just, you know, this guy has, you know, he leads off the inning, gets into a deep count, a little number that, you know, JP tries to short, you know, come get. It starts off the inning and then, you know, soft hit after that. And you look up, the bases are loaded. So, again, you can't pitch the same guys every night. You know, they all have to pitch in your bullpen. Monty needed to pitch. That was a spot for him. We're down in the ball game. Really thought it was a, you know, bottom of the order, hopefully get him through it. And then, you know, gives a chance to get back in it and pick up another run. But, you know, it's tough to win a game and score one run. You got to give those guys credit. They threw the ball really good against us tonight.
We're so happy for Jake and his new child. Doesn't that sound like a parent talking right there? I mean, that's a parent talking about his son that's just going through some issues right now. And this is what he's telling the principal. This is how he gets the student to stay in school. But, I mean, right now with Montero, Curtis, you're right. I feel the exact same way. Every time he comes in, I don't even want to keep watching anymore. I want to change the channel and move on to something else. He's not helping you out. And this offense that is really struggling, that's not helping you out either. So, Curtis, I'm with you in that. I would like to see them address it and upgrade it, but I feel like they just missed it with Nelson Cruz. So I don't know what you do now. You know, I would have pushed for a Nelson Cruz trade before because it probably wouldn't have cost you much. But how do you
– Starting pitching.
Starting pitching is great, Stacey, but I think right now, too – you need to have some bats if you're realistically going to hang around the rest of the year. Like, your starting pitching can kind of help you overachieve still. Chris Flexen's having a year where you're surprised by what he's able to do. Last night wasn't a terrible start by him. Kikuchi, you think, can get back to what he was, and tonight's a big night for him. Logan Gilbert's been awesome. Mm-hmm. The starting pitching has some guys. Justin Dunn, maybe when he comes back, is able to do some of the good things that we saw from him earlier this year. But the offense, I mean, you struck out 13 times last night. And that's been, I think, more so the problem over the entirety of this year than the pitching. And unfortunately, I don't know what bats are going to be available to you that can help you out right now that are going to be cheap.
Yeah, and I don't want to think that just because Jake Fraley isn't out there, like, that's what's costing your team. Like, I'm not saying that Jake Fraley doesn't have a lot of upside and promise, but what I'm saying is, like, if you don't have Jake Fraley and you think, oh, that's what it is, once we get him back, like, your lineup might be in trouble. You can't, your hopes are resting on Jake Fraley. God love him, but, like, you got to have some star power there, and they don't really have that right now. It's something that Nelson Cruz could have brought. I agree with you.
Maybe Kelenic heats up, but are you expecting that? Maybe Kyle Seager heats up, but are you expecting that? Like, right now, you need somebody to essentially put together some sort of superhuman performance, and right now I just don't know where that is coming from, especially when you see J.P. Crawford cooling off a little bit. Because Crawford was playing at essentially a superhuman level last month, right? I mean, the guy was batting 400 over the course of the month. And now you take a look at him this month, and again, it's only been 2 weeks. And there's
nobody's 4 of 26 since the break.
Exactly. So that's something that you look at and you wonder, okay, how does he get back to what he was? So I think, why the Mariners have to be realistic, pragmatic right now. You're not really a contender. And maybe that changes in a couple of weeks. But right now, if you look at yourself in the mirror, what do you see? Do you see a yoked dude from the 1990s who's probably had some steroids or something like that that looks like he can clobber 40 home runs and hit 370? Or are you a team that's going to have to scrabble together as many runs as you possibly can, and it's going to be like pulling teeth? You're the latter.
Well, I guess that's kind of the way I'm looking at it. And Curtis, I get so fired up about any level of apathy with team building. Like, I am completely with you. And I want teams to be all in, and I want teams to feel like they are returning loyalty of a loyal fan base that's been watching for 20 years with no postseason. But even if you were to add starting pitching and like a great bat or second baseman or someone without giving up too much, how far do you, if you get to a wild card, then what? You know what I mean? Like, are you going to get past a team like Houston, the best offense in the league?
Yeah,
what are you going to do against Boston?
If you get past the wild card round, which anything can happen in that round, it's one game.
Let's say you get to the, let's say that by God's grace, you get to the World Series, could you beat any of the top teams in the NL West?
Maybe not, but you only need a rotation that's like three guys deep. And the Mariners have a rotation that's three guys deep right now. The postseason, you don't need five starters. You only need three.
Curtis, I need you to listen to yourself and realize you're telling me that the Mariners could potentially win a World
you
Series.
Get to the you get to the
Curtis,
postseason.
No, it's
you
not
get to the
happening.
Postseason, anything can happen.
You are not winning a World Series this year, no matter what.
I never
what
said
you
they
do.
Would, but I'm saying it gets a lot easier to win a World Series when you're in the playoffs than not in the playoffs. Hot take.
Stacey, you opened the door a little bit on that front, too.
I did.
Look, if you go back to 2018, I mean, when the Mariners were in wild card contention for a while before falling off at the very end, did we feel like in that year that they were going to do any damage? Because me, being in another city at that point in time that had a team that may or may not have been cheating, I remember thinking about that team. Yeah, I don't know that they're going to do anything. And while Curtis is definitely right, in 2015, that same team, I remember, they had like no business being in the playoff race. And they win that wild card game, and they were a couple outs away from taking down Kansas City, who ultimately won the World Series. Like, this team is not quite there. There's no Cy Young-level pitcher on this team. There's no, you know, your best young prospect is not hitting at the same level that Carlos Correa was when he first came up. So, yeah, I hate to be the, you know,
no,
poo-poo platter.
You know what I think it is, now that I'm thinking about it? I'm thinking out loud. I'm literally just sharing my thoughts with you guys as I'm having them. I think what it is the action matters almost more to me than the acquisition, which is such a backwards way of thinking about it. I just want to see something that looks like a real investment in this team and a real belief in this team by management, whether that's the DePoto ownership, whatever it is. That's what I want to see. I want to see that they are all in. Not having DePoto extended, not making moves by the trade deadline, those don't tell me you're all in.
Yeah, that makes sense. And those aren't things that we maybe see until a couple of months from now when it comes to both DePoto and Service. And also, like, if we're going to see a serious commitment made by the Mariners, anything that they would do right now would involve paying your actual assets, using your actual assets to get them.
Wait, using your money?
No, using your players.
Oh, okay, got it.
Right, like if the off season is where you can buy love, right? And you know, buying love doesn't always work out, but there's a hope, there's a chance, you know.
Sure, Paul. Sure.
This off season is, I think, where you're going to see that actual kind of commitment. This off season is probably where the Mariners ownership is going to have the opportunity to actually give the green light for a couple of big old checks that I'm hoping Jerry DePoto will be around to give out.
Let's hope at least that tonight you get a better outing from Yusei Kikuchi. He's had two subpar ones, although again, I will time and time again point to the final three of his start before last where he had a clean three innings, and it's such a low bar, but being like, hey, clean three innings, hey, he got out of that one.
He managed to give us five innings.
I'm counting it as one and a half poor outings that he has a chance to turn around tonight. So,
okay,
that happens.
We'll see. He's got to be more confident. He wasn't confident in that start against the New York Yankees, and that's where I feel like something happened. I don't know what it was. I don't know if it's an injury or if it's something that's in between the ears, but when Danny and I were talking about it this morning, I do think it's something that's probably on that front. And if you're going up against a team that has a lot of good hitters like New York, you can't pitch around them. You know, that doesn't work, and that's what he did in that start.
All right, it is 11:13. That means it's time for headlines.
Extra, extra, read all about it.
Headline Rewrite.
Presented by Teela Mortgage.
The real story behind the headlines in today's news with Jake and Stacey.
Headline number one, the Cleveland Indians announced this morning that they will be changing their team name to the Cleveland Guardians beginning in 2022. What is the real headline?
Yeah, maybe Guardians is a weird name for a baseball team, but counterpoint, at least it's not racist. Clear that bar.
I mean,
you know what I mean?
It's true.
There it is.
Congratulations, Cleveland.
Yeah, you did it.
You didn't come up with a racist name.
That's how I'm going to feel about Washington. Anything else. Literally anything else. The Washington Tractors. I don't care what it is. A random noun.
It's a nickname that you have to explain, unfortunately, though. And for those who don't know, it's because there's this bridge in Cleveland that's nearby where they play baseball. And there's these two rock stone sculptures that are there. And they are the guardians of, I guess, Cleveland. But the problem is the logo is like some weird California Angels from the 1990s ripoff instead of using these Stonehenge-esque figures. And I think they should do the latter.
Yeah, it sounds a little XFL-y to me, which, don't get me wrong, I dug the new iteration of the XFL when it started the other year. We went to games. It was such a blast.
We did go to games.
I'm bummed that they had to cancel that season and that they didn't have a chance to restart, but it sounds like an XFL team name. I think it was.
It literally was.
Literally was.
Appropriating the New York Guardians? Come on. Yeah. R.I.P. Too soon.
Wasn't that was that Matt McGloin's team?
Who
the
was
guy
the
who
guy?
Like threw their coach under the bus
That's
in the sideline interview?
Do you remember what he said?
I forget.
The XFL
what it
was wild. We did not appreciate it when it was here.
Burn bright, burn quick, burn fast.
Matt McGloin was the one who blasted the New York Guardians. You
love
correct.
It. Love it.
Headline rewrites.
Headline number two, we mentioned it off the top, but the Rays have acquired DH Nelson Cruz in a trade with the Minnesota Twins. What is the real headline?
The Mariners displaying the kind of frugality that would make your grandparents proud.
That's a good one.
Save. You got to save.
Got to save.
Always got to save.
And go. Yeah, saving is my... I love my aunt. I love my grandma dearly. Love them dearly. They would be the first person to tell you how much their jeans cost. Like, they cannot wait to be like, these jeans, $2.
It's a point of pride.
I know. Value Village. Yeah, got them straight off of a dead body. Like, I'm just saying, it's like, it's always like, why does it cost $2? And they got it from a funeral home. Can't wait to tell you about it.
You know, I like calling myself cost effective instead. There is this...
A frugal or cheap?
Yeah.
Cost effective.
So there used to be these nickels that used to have buffaloes on them. And there is a saying that it was said about my people, Scotch-Irish people, that some are so frugal that they would squeeze said nickel until the buffalo goes twosies or so. This was something that was
That's
taught to
so
me by my
old-timey. Paul, did you grow up in like 1925?
Yeah.
What?
There were flapper girls everywhere, see?
You were like, when nickels used to have buffaloes on them. I was like, what are you talking about? What world are you coming from?
That's an old saying. You squeeze the nickel until the buffalo takes a dump. Yes, essentially.
All right.
I haven't heard that.
I haven't heard that one.
Sharing with the class.
Wow.
The looks
you're,
I'm getting.
You're yeah. broke.
When's the last time either of you guys saw a nickel?
A nickel?
Oh, no. I mean, I see change.
I keep them in my cup holder in my car if I ever need them.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. But other than that, I don't carry coins on me.
I don't either.
You kidding me?
I haven't carried cash or coins on me in a really long time. Ever since the pandemic started, that's for sure.
Just Bitcoin.
Oh, yeah. I have so much Bitcoin.
Next.
Headline rewrites.
Wide receiver Davante Adams and the Packers have broken off extension talks with no plans to resume them. What is the real headline?
Aaron Rodgers took the same approach to his family.
Ah.
The joke about this joke is that we will always make this joke.
It's become almost a meme in this segment. Is that we will rip on Aaron Rodgers' family situation.
Like,
regardless of any Packers
when
headline.
We were planning this headline, it was, okay, Davante Adams. Do we say that, oh, here's another Adams that's going to hold out? Do you make a joke about how, like, they're sobbing in butcher shops in Green Bay? No. Breaking off talks with no plans to resume them sounds like a Rodgers family reunion. Like, that's exactly what
an
it
Aaron
sounds
Rodgers
like.
Aaron Rodgers family reunion.
Yeah. Oh, right, not yeah, Curtis Rodgers. Right. Never, yeah. never, never.
No.
Is it all about the money for Davante Adams as well? Or is he also going to be going on one of these little movements claiming that, yeah, it's not about the money, man. It's about people. People. And saying people five times during a press conference or something like that. What do you think?
Yeah. I was waving because Michael Bumpus just came in.
Nobody likes me.
I'm sorry, Paul.
I'm going to go cry
no,
now.
We're still
you've
on
been
the air.
Fantastic. I know. And Paul.
Just asking you guys
Paul,
a question.
Paul, don't leave yet.
I don't even know what I asked you.
Don't leave yet. Michael Bumpus is in with us just in time for the end of a segment. I won't make you jump in yet. What's up? Saying hi to Paul.
What up?
We have a really fun show planned for you guys. Also, again, Paul, thanks so much for sticking around for this first part of the segment. We really appreciate it.
Can I have my weekend now?
I mean,
I'll stick around.
I suppose you can. I mean, I feel like we sounded off adequately about the Mariners. You got your feelings out about Rafael Montero.
Indeed, I did.
I'm so sorry that the people at the end of your show, Paul, were giving you a hard time. Did they say you were being too positive about the Mariners?
No, they're just giving the Mariners a hard time. I was like, listen, let's wish positive vibes their way. This is a big series against the A's. You want to go to the ballpark. You don't want to be feeling down about the Mariners going into the game. You want to be there making your JP chance happen in the 7th, 8th, and 9th inning when he's up at the plate.
Oh, unless you're Curtis Rodgers, which says, hey, you are in danger of overusing that chant. Don't use it too much. Was that you that said that, Curtis?
Probably.
Yeah. Like the wave.
Yeah.
Don't use it too much. Just dabble.
I think it was used appropriately last night when J.P. Crawford was up late, because it was used late in the game. So I like
totally
that.
Totally fair.
I think that's smart.
Are you saying you don't need a J.P. Chan in the bottom of the second of a scoreless game?
No, unless you're really bored and you want to make something happen in the crowd.
I guess it would be the... Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Then it's fine in that case. But speaking of this series against the A's, in Hype Train, we're doing Hype Train today. I know normally we have it on Wednesday, but one of the Hype Trains we'll get to is whether or not the Mariners can get out of this stretch against the Astros, against the A's, with a winning record, can win both series somehow. Obviously, you can't sweep the A's. That chance is gone, but you do have a chance to bounce back. How important is this start tonight for Yusei Kikuchi?
It's the most important start of the season for him.
I asked because I heard you say that during your show. You said this basically like your not make or break moment for the series, but this is when you need a win.
I like that. I appreciate you listening.
You're welcome.
This is massive for him, and I wonder really what it is that's going on. I know Ryan Roland Smith, who's on our station so often, but he said something that I heard, and I was like, okay, so he's seeing the same thing that I'm seeing. That there's something going on with Kikuchi where he wasn't challenging people against the New York Yankees. And I don't know if it's because of a couple of different things that he said, that he's starting to feel a little bit of fatigue, maybe because of the summer, that he feels like his velocity isn't quite there. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's one of the reasons that he's working away. But this is a guy that when you see him on his A game, he's great. And he has to believe that he is great. He has to believe that when he is throwing that ball that he can and putting the movement on it that he can as well, that he can do this against some of the best hitters in the American League. And look, the A's aren't that great of an offense. This should be a game for Yusei Kikuchi to bounce back and hopefully look at himself in the mirror and say, I'm not going to let what happened against New York happen again, where all of a sudden I was actually afraid to throw to these sluggers.
All right, I want to figure out whether Mike Salk thinks this is the game Kikuchi absolutely needs to bounce back. I also want to figure out what he thinks about the rest of this series, whether or not he thinks this team, this Mariners team, can legitimately compete for a wild card spot, whether he's buying in and hoping they make some moves. He'll join us next.
You're listening to Jake and Stacey.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacey Rost.
Joining us now is Mike Salk, brought to you by Jafco Plumbing and Sewer. Mike, it's a big night for Yusei Kikuchi with a chance to turn it around. What do you need to see from him?
Well, not getting shelled would be a pretty good start.
Okay, step one.
That's what we've seen the last couple times out. I'd like to see him, like, give them a chance. Honestly, all you want is a quality start, right? I mean, I don't know that I need him to be dominant every time out, but you do need quality starts. Give your team a chance to win the game. And the last couple times out since being named an All-Star, he just hasn't given them a chance to win the game because he's really struggled early or given up, in total too much to really give them a shot. So give them a chance. Right? Not that this lineup is a world beater, and we saw last night against Chaminade that they really struggled, but give them an opportunity and a chance. Don't let it be your fault that the game gets out of hand early, and then you take your chances and see what happens.
Mike, how important are these next series? You got the A's, you got Houston, and then follow up by Texas. Should we put a lot of value into these next couple of series, or kind of just roll with the punches like we've been doing all year?
No, these are playoff series, essentially, if you are the Mariners. If you play on this team and you want Jerry DePoto and the organization to bring you the reinforcements that you believe you need to go try to compete for a wild card at least this year, yeah, treat this like the playoffs. Every one of these games means everything, because if you fall out of this, which you absolutely could, I mean, you win 2 out of 7 against the A's and Astros, your wild card hopes are essentially dashed at that point. And quite frankly, it would be difficult to fault Jerry DePoto to sell and trade Mitch Haniger, look to trade Kyle Seager, whoever else is a possibility at that point, because your team will have fallen so far out that it just wasn't going to be a realistic opportunity this year. So I would expect to see them fighting, clawing, and scratching every step of the way here for these next 6. To try to convince the front office that this is a team worth investing in now, not just for the future.
Do you think they've got a real shot to do that? Because it's one thing for us to know the math and say, all right, well, you got Oakland, who's got that second wild card spot, and you're going to face them. And you got Houston, who's in your division, and kind of looking around, you know, game against Tampa Bay or whatever. But it's another thing to think, okay, but can they do it? So do you think they can?
Can they, win 5 out of 7, which now means winning 5 out of 6?
Yeah,
they can.
Yeah.
We've seen them do it. We've seen what they're capable of when they get on a run, and what they did to Tampa and what they did when they went to Chicago and Toronto. I mean, those are very good teams. Certainly Oakland is no better than them. Houston may be a little bit, but they're capable of doing those things. The problem you run into right now is one out of every 5 days, they're giving up a start because they don't have anybody to, literally anybody to start those games. One out of five games right now, you say Kikuchi doesn't have it. And one out of five games, Marco Gonzalez is a toss-up. Well, you know, if three out of your five are not going to be competitive, then it's hard to win five out of six. Oh, by the way, right now J.P. Crawford seems to be mired in a slump ever since the All-Star break. I'm sure he'll come out of it, but they need him, like, right now to come out of it. They need the J.P. Crawford that we saw throughout all of June, not the guy we've seen so far in July, because he's their instigator. He's the one who's in the middle of everything. He's the one who's playing like a captain of this team. Not that he is the captain, but he's played that way and really been their catalyst. So they can do all of those things, but they're going to need better starting pitching, and they're going to need a little bit more from the guys at the very top of the lineup if they're going to beat some really good teams right now in Oakland and Houston.
Mike, do you think the M's have their minds made up with what they're going to do with Haniger, what they're going to do before the trade deadline? Or are they really waiting to see what happens with these series? And if you are making the moves for the M's, what do you do?
Well, what I would have done is I would have tried to have made a move a couple of weeks ago, Mike, because I honestly think that there was a chance to give yourself the help you needed to show that at the trade deadline you were ready to invest even more into it. Unfortunately, it doesn't sound like there was much of a market available, and then all the teams basically shut it down for the draft. And so now you find yourself with the starting pitching market just starting to move a little bit today as Rich Hill gets traded. So you're starting to see a little bit of movement there. But I think, unfortunately, while they've been making calls and trying to get something done, I don't know that other teams were necessarily willing to do so yet. Unfortunately, in the process, things change, records change. And as you go forward without a team that had the reinforcements, you know, you wait and see what happens here at this homestand. I know they just lost one game. I don't want to be negative about what they do the rest of the way. But if I'm Jerry DePoto, at this point, I think I have to remain flexible to find out what my team does, because if we win a whole bunch of games and find ourselves right in the thick of things, man, you need to put the pedal down. You need to at least give this team a little bit of gas. And if you fall out, if you lose five out of seven, then you've got to do the tough thing, even though you don't want to, even though you want to continue to invest in this year, you can't throw bad money after good. You've got to find a way to make your team better and as soon as possible, which might be next year, because the goal here is to win World Series, not to attempt to get into the playoffs.
I'm going to switch gears here a little bit. Mike, what'd you make of that NFL memo about teams forfeiting games if there's a breakout among unvaccinated players?
Well, I think the NFL is playing it smart, and I'm sure they've consulted with the best lawyers in the country who said, look, you're not allowed to mandate vaccines, but you may absolutely go and take these steps to ensure that if mistakes or if money is being lost because people are choosing to live their life one way or another, they can be the ones held responsible for those choices and for the money involved. I think it makes perfect sense. I know there's a lot of players that are upset. I know this is going to fall down political lines, and I guess I'm not afraid of that. I just think the NFL is looking at this and saying, yes, it is your body. Yes, it is your choice. No, you don't have to be vaccinated, but we believe that this is safe. We believe that the science is on our side. And if you cost us games and you cost us money, we're going to take it out of your paycheck. And my experience with both NFL teams and players, and I'm sure Bump will agree with this, is the moment you mess with their wallet is the moment you have their full attention. And so I would say the NFL did what it was trying to do, get the full attention of its players.
Yeah, and I think they got it. I'll never forget. You talk about the paycheck, Mike. I remember I sat next to Deion Grant, and he showed me his game check. It was like $250,000. I'm like, yeah, if I'm going to lose that type of money, I might just go ahead and do what I got to do. So we talk about losing money. These guys are going to have to forfeit games if the game is compromised by the vaccine. Do you think that the NFL is going to hold tight to this and really lose out on making all that money? Or do you think they're trying to call their bluff right now? Then once you get into the season, they start rescheduling games if they have to.
Well, I think they've said they will try to reschedule them, right? I mean, this is a last resort. What they said was, if we can't reschedule the game, then you will forfeit and you'll lose the money, right? So I think they'll make every effort to reschedule. I don't think they want to just not pay the players. I don't think they want to get into that legal battle. And I don't think they want to have games that don't get played. I mean, between the ticket revenue and the TV revenue and everything else, I mean, I don't think they want that. So they'll make every effort to try to reschedule it. But again, I think this is not just a bluff. It's a way of getting attention and saying, no, 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 we are really serious. We need you to be vaccinated for the health and safety of our teams, and so that our team can be as competitive as possible and the league can do everything it needs to do.
Mike, I got 30 seconds left for this question. So need a really quick answer, but it's because we're going to dive into the conversation in a couple minutes. Does Jamal Adams get a deal done before the start of training camp, yes or no?
No, but he does get one done within a week or so of the start of training camp. I don't think it'll get done before they start. It seems like he wants to make a point that whatever they're offering him, he has got to make his point. He's got to let everybody know that he is so great that he needs to do this. Okay, fine. But it's up to them to make sure it doesn't last very long. Again, we've talked about this. Jamal Adams, part of the reason you dealt so much for him is because of his leadership, his character, his energy, all the things that Cam Chancellor used to bring to your team, you're trying to now get from him. If he's not out there for the majority of training camp, then you're not getting one of the premier things you traded for.
Fair point. I like it. He is Mike Salk, joins us every weekday at 11:30. We'll talk to you next week.
Stacey, I'll be in with you on Monday.
I'm excited. I know. Everyone's going to get 3 hours of Mike Salk.
Woohoo.
Bye, Mike.
See you, Salk.
See you guys.
All right. A new report coming through NFL Network has the latest on Jamal Adams. Speaking of his contract negotiations with Seattle, you want to hear this. I'll tell you what you need to know next. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to Jake and Stacey.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacey Ross.
Got some updates on the Jamal Adams contract negotiations. No, it is not news of a deal being done, but there is new sound from NFL Network's Ian Rappaport and Mike Garofalo on where negotiations stand right now. So before we dive into it, let me remind you guys, Jake Heaps out right now on paternity leave. Congratulations to the Heaps fam. Welcome baby River early this morning. In his place, awesome guest, special guest, Michael Bumpus, going to be in with us. So we have a really awesome training camp preview we're going to be doing. We're talking with Ty France coming up in our third hour. And right now, we're going to be talking about where Jamal Adams' contract negotiations stand. So let's dive into the sound. Let's start with Mike Garofalo. He says this is what Adams want cut number five. He wants to be paid more than a safety.
They look at Jamal Adams and they say he is a really good football player, right? Safety, linebacker, whatever you want to call him. And I would say this. They're willing to make him, according to my sources, the highest paid safety in the NFL. Now, if I'm Jamal Adams, remember, I just did this with Devontae. If I'm Jamal Adams, I say, well, I'm a safety and a linebacker. Even though those linebackers sometimes make comparable money, you're going to make your case.
Garofalo in cut number six says the Seahawks have offered him highest paid safety money.
But the bottom line is the Seahawks in their offers have already come in at the highest paid safety. Justin Simmons jumped to the top of the market for the Broncos. They're willing to go higher than that. So to me, they're in the right realm already. So I believe at some point before the start of the season, this gets done between the Seahawks and Jamal Adams because they're where they should be as far as making him the highest paid safety. I don't know exactly when, but I think it'll get done.
And is there a limit to what they're willing to pay Adams? Well, yeah, cut number four from Ian Rappaport. It sounds like they're not willing to surpass another teammate's sum.
And it does sound like the Seahawks would like to keep this deal under the massive deal that Bobby Wagner, their best defensive player and one of their team leaders, signed last year. That's $18 million. So figure the Seahawks, this is more math there, the Seahawks have him at the highest paid safety in the NFL, but below Bobby Wagner, you're probably looking at about $17 million per year, which would be a massive deal for one of the more fun players in the entire NFL on defense.
Bumpus, it sounds like there still could be a difference in what Jamal wants and what the Seahawks are willing to pay of about, let's say, $2 million per year,
yeah,
right? Which is a lot over the lifetime of a contract. How do you see this negotiation playing out, and where do you see a point on either side?
It's going to work out. There's no way Jamal Adams does not play for the Seahawks this year. Yeah, I got complete faith in the organization and Jamal, and I think they're both approaching this with cooler heads because the Hawks know, okay, Jamal, you're a safety. You should be paid as the highest safety, but you also have done things a safety or corner, a defensive back, has ever done, which is the sack totals. Mm-hmm. And I also think that Jamal is smart enough to know, like, look, I'm trying to change the job description of a safety, right? Safety, you're supposed to cover, you come in the box, you make some tackles. I'm changing the job description, so I'm asking this organization to go against the template that they use when it comes to paying guys. So right now it's negotiations, it's back and forth. They can last a long time, but I have complete confidence. Both sides have a point. Hawks, Jamal, you're a safety. Jamal, look, I do more than just what a safety right. does, so pay me accordingly. They have to meet in the middle somewhere, starting at making him the highest paid safety, and then maybe throw some incentives in there or something to make him happy.
Now, say what you will about Jamal Adams having a poorer coverage grade last year than he did in years prior. Money follows sacks. The highest paid defensive mm-hmm. players in the leagues, those are the guys getting sacks. Now, Jamal Adams led your team last year. He didn't just lead your team. He led quite a few other defensive ends in the league. I think he was like 11th or 12th yep. of all defensive players in sack totals with 9.5 last season. But let's go to the coverage grade. When you look at him on the field, whether it's reviewing tape from last year, whether it's being at the games and seeing this bump, do you feel like it's something that he can certainly improve on? Like, it is in his toolkit, Jamal Adams' toolkit, to be better in coverage.
Most definitely. And let's remember, the dude is 25 years old.
Right.
He's been in the league 4 years. Like, he hasn't even reached his prime yet. And I would love to think he's a student of the game. And he looks at the film and says, okay, where can I get better? It's in the coverage. A lot of people lean on that Rams game. There's a couple plays he could have made, but he had his arm strapped to his body. He couldn't raise his arm. There are always things you need to work on. And he hears it, and I think he sees it, and I think he takes it into account. And he's going to work on it, but he's not going to let it define him. He does so many other things well that you cannot be as great in one category if you cover all the other boxes. Of course, he's going to work on it. He needs to work on it, but it's not huge concern. I'm like, oh my God, the ball's in the air. Jamal's not going to get there. No, I think he's capable of doing it.
That's the way I kind of looked at it. Like, I remember seeing a lot of those comments, and I know that you've seen it too, because you're on here all the time. You see the comments and texts in from listeners. Love it when listeners text in, but I've seen some before that are like, why make him the highest paid safety? He doesn't get picks. And I just think, like, were we watching the same guy?
Right.
I remember watching early in the season, looking at Atlanta, looking at hearing people out at training camp talk about, like, when you see this guy, you remember how good Cam used to be and Sherm used to be and Earl used to be. Like, you kind of normalize not having that defense anymore, and then you get an elite level player, a player you never would have gotten the shot at in the draft. You never would have been picking at 6 overall to bring him in.
Yep.
You see that level of talent on the field and you say, oh, I get it.
Yeah,
like, I get it.
It makes sense. Like, you don't ask him to be something that he's not. You don't ask him to be, okay, a single high cover safety. I'm going to roam the field. I have the range of Earl Thomas. Mm-hmm. That's just not what he brings to the table. Can he get better at it? Yeah, of course he can. And you have to, as a coach, you have to put your players in positions to be successful. The Hawks have done exactly that when it comes to Jamal Adams. It's just the safety tag is what's making people think, well, he shouldn't get paid X amount of dollars. I don't care, man. If I bring in a slot receiver, I'm not going to ask him to be a burner on the outside. You're in the slot for a reason, because you're quick, you're shifty, you can sit down in the zone. It's all about what you bring to the table. I think he brings enough to the table to pay this man and make him the highest whatever he wants to be paid.
That's exactly right. And I also think, like, I'm not looking at my strong safety to be leading the team in interceptions.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I'm looking at corners saying. Well, you're choosing to save money at corner in lieu of spending it at other positions, just like you're paying your safety comparatively less than you would pay a top defensive end, and he's getting you just as many sacks. So, I mean, there's a trade-off. There's a way that they're finding to save some money, and that could mean making your safety the highest-paid safety, but let me tell you what, that's still a lot less than what the Rams are paying Aaron Donald on, you know, their D-lineman. It's less than what Bosa's going to get, either Bosa. So exactly. So it's kind of like a pick your poison with what you're paying guys. Obviously, we'll be keeping an eye on this as the story develops. This hour of Jake and Stacey is brought to you by Muckleshoot Casino. And we are taking you around the diamond thanks to Shane Company, your friend in the jewelry business. Yusei Kikuchi gets the start tonight as the Mariners face off for Game 2 against the Oakland A's. First pitch is at 7:10 p.m. Pre-game show starts at 6 p.m. right here on 710 ESPN Seattle. And that's Around the Diamond, brought to you by Shane Company, your friend in the jewelry business. All right, you guys, Seahawks training camp just a few days away, less than a week away. We're getting you guys ready with our continued preview. Coming up next, it's one question that must be answered next month and one that we have to accept won't get answered in training camp.